Pay off your holiday bills with a new job at UPS. Join Team Louisville as a warehouse worker and earn $14.50 per hour to start, plus a $200 sign-on bonus and up to $1,200 in additional bonuses over the holiday season. Be a part of an industry-leading organization that believes in promoting from within. Enjoy an active job with big-time growth opportunities. Become a warehouse worker at UPS. Search and apply now at upsjobs.com/worldport. That's upsjobs.com/worldport.
Katie George here for Coil Automotive in Clarksville. Coil's Black Friday sales event is going on now. Save thousands on over 400 new Chevrolets, Buicks, and GMCs in stock and in one convenient location. Plus, on Friday, November 27th, you will have the chance to buy a 2015 Chevy Impala for $5. Yes, $5. Head over to coildeals.com for all the details and find your next car, truck, or SUV today. Coil, where the flag is flying and Kentuckian is buying.
Come on!
Must register for a chance to purchase Impala.
Welcome back. Welcome back. It's Middays with Marcus Maben. 8150 939 is the number. 939 is the station. And people, we made it to the finish line of 2020. Stepping into a new year. Steve Rummage in the building. Brian Hall in the booth.
First off, I ain't worried about no dang new year. I'm worried about what we're going to do against Boston College on Saturday. And then I'm going to do a new year in between. The second thing is, I didn't even want to say nothing. And there's a good chance he's listening. Our boss, Drew Diener, I'm hurting, man. And I heard him this morning, and he was hurting. And I laid in bed last night. Now, we're hurting for two separate reasons. His sounded like it was much more exciting than mine. I laid in bed last night, no kid, neither one. Elijah's with his mom last night. Mm. Xavier with his Mimi last night. Charity down at work. I got the house to myself, man. Hey, so I did what any adult would do. I pulled out the Oculus. I play some VR. I'm not a gamer, but there's a climbing game. It's good for your shoulders, too. It's tough, man. It'll get you burning.
Listen, I promise you, I'm going to push you. If I find you playing the Oculus climbing game.
No, dude, that'll seriously hurt you. It will give you a heart attack.
Right.
Yeah. So, I got my workout in last night. I felt good. Everything was good. Did my Oculus. I sat down. Look, and then I laid in bed and I did what any adult would do. And I watched Disney. And I watched Disney videos. And me and the wife were thinking, I think the first weekend in February, I've said something on Twitter, we're going to hit a couple of the Disney parks, just me and her, for about 4 days. Because that travel nursing thing, they were like, look, it's a gift from us. Y'all go anywhere you want for 4 days, X amount of pretty good amount of money. Yep. It's like, hey, that's on us and whatever. So we were like, oh, shoot, let's go to Orlando for a couple of days. Yeah. Right. So anyways, I lay there and then I stay up and I talk to her. She got off at 2. So she – and I'm just like, okay, then I went to sleep. I don't do well with little sleep. I can't do the Marcus Maben thing. I can't. The front of my head today feels like, I don't know why it's hurting, but it's like there's no sense for my head to be hurting this way.
Yeah.
Right. From lack of sleep. So anyways,
We're going to need call-in co-hosts. We're going to need text message co-hosts. We're going to need text message producing. We're going to need Brian Hall. Extra producing. You know what I was doing at 2:00 in the morning, Steve?
What was that? Were you up? I should have texted you.
Steve, I didn't end the night show till 12:45.
Man. I felt bad last night too, because look, you know how a lot of times you'll send me a link and I'm asleep. I saw your link come through and I was laying in the bed. And I had the TV on and I was watching Disney videos, because we're deciding what two parks we want to go to. We know we're going to go to Hollywood Studios, and I was thinking of the other one. So anyways, I'm looking and I'm like, okay, and I see your link come up, and I was like, not tonight, Marcus.
Listen,
not tonight.
And here's the thing, before I sent the link, I said the only reason I'm sending this link, y'all, is because I feel bad if I don't.
And you said, no, I do appreciate it. I like when you send them to me every time. That way I got the option, you know. But, and I felt bad because, look, I said, he knows I'm home alone. He knows this. I've had a conversation with him tonight. He knows.
That was a just-in-case link, Steve.
No, it was awesome.
So
it was awesome.
at 2 o'clock last night,
okay,
because I literally watched the clock hit.
Okay.
Shredded chicken, rice. I had these avocados that were the perfect ripeness.
Oh, Jesus.
So
sounds amazing.
I'm slicing the avocados. Okay. Listen, 2 o'clock in the morning.
No, this is the real deal.
I'm slicing the avocados. It's all good.
Yeah.
Listen, I split them open. They were just perfect, right?
Yeah.
Avocados, 2 go in the bucket. Tomatoes, I got some organic tomatoes. Chopping up the tomatoes. I got the cilantro. I got the lime, lemon juice.
Right? You're fine. Don't mind me.
Had the lemon juice. So I make the avocado real good. Just whip it all up. I got the sour cream. I got black beans over there on the stove.
My gosh, dude.
And it all turns into one naked burrito.
Yeah.
So I went down at about 3:30.
That's legit.
It was so good.
My gosh, man.
Oh, and my plate really wasn't that big, but I had all the ingredients. And I was proud of myself for putting all the ingredients away. So they're perfectly ready to go for lunch if I wanted.
You need to get, I got a wok for Christmas. It's amazing.
I'm still loving my my cast iron skillet.
There's nothing wrong with that. But and then you can even cook the meat on the cast iron skillet and then put it in the wok, and it's amazing.
Let me ask you, okay, with the wok for your stir fries, for your for your New Year's stuff.
Yeah.
You were gonna do that? Okay, now I'm curious.
I don't know. I mean, I'll probably do sorry. Okay. I was looking at something. Well, hang on. Let me tell you what I was looking at.
No, that's why I said I'm curious. Like, I was looking at
There's
your
a
eyes.
Couple things happening, and then we'll get into some Boston, because I did watch Boston College last night. And by the way, I watched Tennessee. Tennessee's awesome. I don't care what y'all say. They're an awesome team.
I'm going to watch Pons, let's just say this. Pons for Tennessee.
Yeah.
Makes me angrier at Jalen Withers every single day.
Oh, yeah. No, I know.
Actually.
He's incredible.
Actually, I'll say this right now. Pons for Tennessee gets me mad at three people. Jalen Withers.
Yeah.
Coach Mike Pegues. Aiden Gahan and Coach Mack.
Yeah. All y'all.
Because I see Aiden every time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right? And I see Jalen Withers. I see Coach Pegues, who you're letting him get away with laying the ball up.
Yeah.
And Coach Mack, you're the head over all these situations.
Yeah.
And I got mad watching Tennessee.
No, I get it. Okay. I get it. They are awesome. A couple things.
But.
Okay.
I did make the point, Tennessee. While we were in love with Tennessee last night.
Yeah.
What was the point I made?
With Tennessee? What was the point you made?
Darn it, Steve.
I don't know.
I said, while Tennessee looks awesome and preseason awesome and all this stuff, Coach Mack took his Louisville Cardinals and had Tennessee on the ropes.
With a good Tennessee team.
With a lot of pros on that team.
They were a one or a two. They were a two seed, I think.
Right. While I'm just loving this Tennessee team, like, don't forget Mack's style.
Oh, I know.
Was just fine holding down Tennessee.
That is true.
Okay. So now, okay, moving along.
Okay. A couple things. First thing is, Ince is going to take Brian's job, isn't he?
It's coming.
Jason Ince is going to be our new producer here soon.
Oh, my gosh. Could you imagine?
I can see him being groomed over there.
Okay, are we going to talk about that?
The second thing I was going to say real quick about him, the reason I was taking the picture, he kind of looks like Kevin Owens. Do y'all know who Kevin Owens is?
He has bright, I think I do, I'm pretty sure.
The wrestler. He kind of looks like Kevin Owens.
Is he allowed to wear bright orange?
I feel like that's kind of my thing here. Your thing, obviously. I guess you were the originator of it, but no, I don't think so.
He's a Kentucky guy.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to wear orange, are you?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what it is with that.
Hey, let's just ask right now. 8150-939 is the number. 38-31-939. Can Ince take Brian's job, y'all?
Whose
bring
job?
Bring the UK post game guy over.
Whose job is? Yeah. Well, listen, because here's
just
the thing:
bring the UK post guy to produce Middays with Marcus.
Jason Ince is being groomed right now by the process, so he's taking somebody's job. Whose job's he taking?
I groom the process.
Okay. See, Brian's making a good argument here. I mean, I don't think he's taking Patty Ice's job, right?
I groomed Pat Jagger's job. Pat was my intern before he moved up.
Brian, you better watch it.
Oh, you better watch it, Brian.
You better watch it, Brian.
So you groomed Patty Ice is what you're saying.
I'm just saying that Pat and Process both came here after me, and I helped train them.
Do they think they've surpassed you in
Let's start some producer beef.
I guess it's because my duties have... make me have two jobs now.
Oh, man. Listen.
Right. They running around slick talking Brian. Brian has an empire in growth right now.
I know.
When he's not in here. Is he above bickering about producer producer stuff? But this is where his heart's at.
Yeah. It's where his heart's at with the show here. Yeah. No, I'm curious.
Ince is going to take Patty Ice's job with me.
Mitch, you better watch out.
Mitch is also a guy who interned under me.
Mitch, Brian.
Mitch, you are finished.
Mitch, you better are watch done. It, buddy.
Oh my God,
Jason Ince coming for your job, dude. Look at him over here. Look, he's got Chick-fil-A. He's kicked back. He's learning the ropes.
Did he bring the boss in Chick-fil-A too?
I bet.
Man,
look. Man, how about that, dude?
Mitch is going is the UK.
I think Mitch is the leader in the clubhouse.
You're right.
Yeah, Mitch. I'd be worried. And he's coming off a great end of the year mixtape. I really enjoyed the crap out of that yesterday. He did a great job at that. So I don't know about it. Yeah. So anyways, that's something to monitor though. Just a little behind the scenes baseball here. So a New Year's Eve.
ESPN Louisville is like the Sith. The apprentice is supposed to kill the master. Brian must be taken out. That's what the YouTube channel says, Brian. Seems like they're giving you they're supporting you on the text
now,
line.
No, people love Brian. Yeah, Brian's not going nowhere.
Oh, okay. But, so where do we go? Boston College.
Well, somebody is.
I did get some Midland stats for you.
Oh yeah. Well, we're gonna get that Midland stuff in either in the second semester segment or the second hour. We're gonna get to that Midland stuff. Boston College last night, man. Watched a little bit of that.
I'm listening.
Yeah, I was trying to check it out. They played NC State. It was a good game. I feel like it's a game we should win after watching them play. I feel like it's a game we should win. They're not big at all. They've got the one guy, the Tabs guy, who can shoot it pretty well. Mekhi Ashton Langford's their point guard.
Was it at Boston or was it at NC State?
It was at NC State. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we'll be going to Boston College. You know, they
don't you hate going to Boston College?
I know, in football and basketball, it's like, wow. You know, it's a hard game to get up for. I don't know why.
The grayness, just
I know. It's just like, golly. So, but I will say this, you know, they have the Mitchell kid. He's one of their bigs, and he's your typical just workhorse big. Uh-huh. It's just I feel like that there are talent, and we don't know. I mean, I'm assuming we have what we have. Coach Mack didn't sound like – and Coach Mack will be talking today, but he didn't sound like in the quotes I saw from Shannon Russell yesterday that Midland would play Saturday. But, I mean, he didn't say he wouldn't, but he didn't say he would, but he said probably sometime next week. So, we'll see. Yeah, so I'm assuming we got what we got. But, I mean, I do. After watching them last night, I feel like it's a game we should win.
He's playing today. I mean, he's playing Saturday, right?
I would hope so, but I don't know. But, I mean, that could be coach speak, too, you know. You know, he's saying, you know, he's not back to practice, but I'm like, yeah, but y'all were letting him go through warm-ups, so, you know. Also, wasn't all that impressed with NC State. Just that's a side note because we'll probably see them again at some point since that game got canceled.
I'm looking at it and it's like, just take care of the ball, y'all.
Mm-hmm.
Just take care.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, Tabs can shoot it. He's going to hit a few threes, whatever. I could see it going a lot like last year's game. Mekhi Ashton Langford, I think he transferred from Providence because he was a guy we were in on coming out of high school. But, I mean, he's all right. You know, it's like, yeah, I mean, he's a decent point guard. Like I said, they don't have a real dominant big. I mean, I wish I could give you a better analysis. That I wish I could build it up a little bit better. Like, hey, man, it's a big time. But it's just –
it goes the same way. Like, anybody can beat you.
Absolutely. I mean, we're not a juggernaut, you know. I mean, especially this year. So, I mean, it's not one of those things where we could also, for as quickly as I say, man, over the next four or five games, Louisville could win three or four of these things down this next segment here. You could lose three or four of them, too. I mean, yeah, you're not, you know, the elite of the elite by any stretch.
And we don't have a style that really leads to blowouts a lot, you know.
Right.
You know, and I guess it's more on the offensive end right now. Until we get like maybe a cleaner motion, you know, where we can count on scoring more, you know.
Yeah.
More possessions. Okay. Actually, you said you wanted to wait till the second segment.
I don't care. Or we can set it up. I mean, it's 10:21. We could take a quick one and we could come back.
Yeah, let's take
that first early break. What we'll do on the other side is we know what we have. So we're talking a little bit about, like I said, I didn't mean to poo-poo on the Boston College mm-hmm. game because I'm really excited to watch the team. And you'll be on pregame at 11 o'clock and different stuff. And I'll probably tap in with you a little bit.
Kevin Keatson on the hot seat, is he?
No,
but he probably
they beat North Carolina, didn't they?
Yeah, they're 2-0.
Is that what gets you off the hot seat?
Yeah, I would think so.
I mean,
when you're at North Carolina State, beating North Carolina is like Louisville and Kentucky. You know, I mean, not to that scale, but it's a rivalry game, then you're winning it.
I mean, yeah, I think they're 2-0 in the ACC right now. Which Carolina's 0-2, by the way. They lost again last night, Georgia Tech. There's a show around here that when everybody was mocking last year. And then over the summer, I can't think of the show here at 93.9 that was like, Georgia Tech's pretty good. I don't think y'all are giving Georgia Tech enough credit. Georgia Tech's a pretty good team. And then there was a team earlier this year. I remember I was listening to everybody crap on Georgia Tech, and I was actually trying to help out James Strebel. I was like, Georgia Tech's better than y'all are giving them credit for, man. No, Notre Dame. Georgia Tech's way better than Notre Dame. Georgia Tech's a pretty good team. And now – go figure, Georgia Tech's a pretty good team. And we got them in a couple weeks, so.
Get it together, Coach. Quick commercial break. Midday's with Marcus Maben on 99 The Ville.
Pay off your holiday bills with a new job at UPS. Join Team Louisville as a warehouse worker and earn $14.50 per hour to start, plus a $200 sign-on bonus and up to $1,200 in additional bonuses over the holiday season. Be a part of an industry-leading organization that believes in promoting from within. Enjoy an active job with big-time growth opportunities. Become a warehouse worker at UPS. Search and apply now at upsjobs.com/worldport. That's upsjobs.com/worldport.
Katie George here for Coil Automotive in Clarksville. Coil's Black Friday sales event is going on now. Save thousands on over 400 new Chevrolets, Buicks, and GMCs in stock and in one convenient location. Plus, on Friday, November 27th, you will have the chance to buy a 2015 Chevy Impala for $5. Yes, $5. Head over to coildeals.com for all the details and find your next car, truck, or SUV today. Coil, where the flag is flying and Kentuckian is buying.
Come on!
Must register for a chance to purchase Impala.
I'm still standing. Yeah. I'm still standing.
Yeah.
Welcome back. It's Middays with Marcus Maben. 8150 93.9 is the number. 93.9 is the station. I guess a good fitting opening song for 2020.
that's pretty solid.
Let me get to this
phone. That was the thought.
Right. Let me get to this phone live before we get rolling. Lawrence, thanks for joining us on 93.9. What's on your mind?
Well, what's on my mind right now is if Louisville going to be ready to play Boston College on Saturday. Because in the last game, they put everything they had to give to beat Kentucky. I'm wondering if mostly are they going to be ready to play Boston College on Saturday.
Appreciate the call, Lawrence.
Well, it is Wednesday, so now we can start the – look, no, and I'm not even being snarky. It is Wednesday, so now we can start the – well, they didn't play great. I guess Kentucky, let's
slow down, coach.
Wasn't like y'all were awesome, okay? So, no, and I'm actually here for it. Yeah, like, I don't even mean that snarky. I'm kind of like,
you've moved into.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm still going to own the rivalry and mock you and all that stuff, but then the other part of me is like, yeah, I feel you.
Let me get this
far. By the way, did you know that if you start SummerSlam 1991 at 9:21, Macho Man will scream, oh, yeah, right at midnight?
That's pretty awesome.
I know what I'm doing tomorrow. I know what I'll be doing tonight.
Plumber Chuck, thanks for joining us on 93.9. Fire away.
Hey, I just wanted to call in and wish you and Steve a happy new year. And I also wanted to thank you all for the pregame, the postgame, and Marcus Maven around midnight. So thank you for all you all do. Happy New Year, and I'll talk to you next week.
Appreciate that, Plumber Chuck. Thank you, man.
Notice he said around midnight.
Around. It's like,
yeah, he might start 11:30 or he might start 11.
No, listen. I have got so many texts. Before we get into this, I have gotten so many texts and messages about people who enjoy that, the midnight show, man. We call it the midnight show, but the 11 o'clock, whatever. Yeah, a lot of people really enjoy that.
Okay, I'm gonna carry your alley-oop on something you just said, Steve. When you said I'm on the Wednesday, ready to move on, kind of thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think yesterday I was a little surly, you know, ending the show. I'm kind of surly about Jalen Withers, kind of surly with, you know, with our inside. I'm gonna be like that. I'm gonna be surly about our offense a little bit too, right?
Absolutely.
So the only thing that I haven't really called out, because I'm giving passes normally, but right now I'm just not in the mood to give passes, right?
Sure.
DeAndre, you got to play better. DeAndre Davis, you got to play better.
Yeah.
You got to hit some shots. You're taking some good shots.
Yeah.
I need you to be mentally strong enough to keep on stepping in there, shooting with confidence like you're going to knock them down.
Yeah.
Right? So I'm a little... Listen, I like you getting to the basket. I like you getting fouled, you know. But, you know, that's a skill that you need on your team, right?
Mm-hmm.
And here's the problem, Steve. I got a guy on my team that I am maybe a little more confident in his three-pointer.
Okay.
Because.
His name Dante Allen.
I've watched this guy hit big-time three-pointers, get a lot of buckets against big-time opponents.
He's on our team right now.
He's on our team right now. And he is very, very close to making his debut.
Mm-hmm.
And what I worry about is,
okay,
as excited as we were for the young upside potential, DeAndre Davis,
I like what you're saying here.
Maybe there's a more consistent, more mature version of DeAndre Davis who knows how to miss a shot and step up confidently and hit the next shot, who knows how to get the and ones, who's familiar with the offensive the opportunities that you have in an offense to score, who's a senior.
I like what you're putting down here.
Who may have all the DeAndre Davis stuff, but with an older brain.
Oh.
So while we're excited about DeAndre Davis and the potential,
yeah,
we still have to acknowledge he's new to this.
He is. It showed Saturday.
Now, what if I had an older version of DeAndre Davis coming to the team?
I'm listening. I like it.
Think you might. Okay. Think you might.
What?
Oh, Brian Hall.
I'm just saying, there might be a guy on this team that might be a little better than we're thinking.
I'm listening, Brian. I'm intrigued.
All right, so this is a guy that has a lot of experience, as you were saying right there. Might be a fifth-year guy. Might have gotten injured in the preseason. Still waiting for his Louisville Cardinal debut. But it seems to be right around the corner.
Here's the thing. Do you have a little background on this guy? Do you need a set of headphones or something?
No, you're good.
Do you? Because I want to know. Like, I hear this guy, and everybody's listening to Marcus say, "Well, why would you think he's older? And what's so good about being older? And what kind of experience does he have? What's this dude's resume?"
I got that for you. So the guy we're talking about comes from San Francisco, and. Mm. You know, a lot of people want to, you know, downplay, you know, he's a mid-major guy. He's not going to translate to the, you know, major level.
Nobody, and I mean nobody, in this fan base and our rival fan base will ever challenge us on mid-major conversation in transfers again. Is that fair to say?
Absolutely.
You have lost the right. You have absolutely lost the right. To challenge Marcus Maben or Steve Rummage or Brian Hall
yep.
when we tell you a mid-major grad transfer can play some basketball or some football.
Sure.
You lost the right to challenge anything we say about that.
I agree.
So being that our record
yeah.
of calling transfers that can play
yeah.
has been good.
No, yeah, no, we're brilliant.
Keep going.
And going along those same lines, you look at a guy like Kristen Cunningham, you look like – you know, his numbers translated to us.
Yeah,
you know, what he did at Samford to what he did at Louisville.
Don't even worry about going back through our resume of grad transfers.
Oh, yeah. All right, so like, moving on. Now we got Charles Menlin, and he is right around the corner of potentially rejoining this team. I believe he's starting to practice already, possibly. Mm-hmm.
Give me his resume.
So playing time, he's getting ready probably within the next week or two. But I'm going to give you a little bit of his stats. So I went back, looked at some game logs, really kind of broke down his junior and senior year at San Francisco. So we're going to start with, let's go with his, do you want to go with the junior year first or the senior year?
Of course, the junior year.
All right, so the junior year, the guy scored in double digits in 26 games. 26 double-digit point performances. Okay. He had 14 games where he had 5-plus rebounds, including two where he had over 10 rebounds. Now, when we go back to his points, and we're breaking down those 26 double-digit games, he had six games his junior year that he scored over 20 points, including 22 points against St. Mary's, Maine, and San Diego.
I'd take that out of DeAndre Davis, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, he also faced the number two-ranked Gonzaga team, put up 14 points against them twice. Then he also played Stanford, put up 19 against them, and he played Cal and put up 17 against them. He had, like I said, 14 games where he was over 5-plus rebounds, two he had over 10, and he had seven games where he had at least three assists.
Will you give me his – give me in those games you just read against the Power 5 competition, will you give me his line? Like, can you give me his line in general? Just
I think we want to do that in the senior year.
Okay.
We're still in his junior year. Okay. We're building up to his senior
year.
Okay,
perfect.
We'll do the stat line on those, though.
Perfect. That'll work. That'll work, yeah.
Okay, so now we're to his senior season. So his senior season, he had 5-plus 20-point games. In 27 of the 32 games, he scored in double digits. The five that he did not, he played under 20 minutes. So I'm wondering if there was maybe a lingering injury or something.
There was.
Yeah, because he played under 20 minutes in the five games he didn't score over 10 points. Some of his best performances his senior year came 25 points against South Carolina, 22 points against number two Gonzaga, 19 points against number two Gonzaga, 18 points against Stanford.
1 second. 22s and 19s on Gonzaga is tough, y'all.
25 on South Carolina.
25.
18 on Stanford.
If
17 against Cal.
If Terrence Clark got 25 on South Carolina. If anybody you know dropped 25 on South Carolina, you'd be pumped.
Yeah.
Anybody drop 22 on Gonzaga on your team?
I mean, they're excited that BJ Boston's scoring against Transylvania.
I'm just giving it perspective. Like, okay. These names, putting 22 on this name team.
Yeah.
You know what you're doing.
Yeah.
Against anybody.
Yeah.
Keep going.
17 of those games his senior year, he had 5-plus rebounds, including 3 games where he had over 10, and he had 12 against San Diego.
So we can book him for 5-plus rebounds every single game.
Probably.
Is that fair?
I would.
He got one last shot. Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah.
He's going to get you. He's going to get you.
Yeah.
He had.
If he gets the minutes. You're right. If he gets the minutes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, but you could still say per minute played. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
He had 2 games where he had 7 assists. That included against Stanford and Hawaii. He had 13 games where he had 3-plus assists.
Yeah.
Okay. Keep going.
Let's see. He had 4 blocks against San Diego.
Mm. 4 blocks?
4 blocks. So you want me to read off some of the bigger opponents' stat lines?
Yeah. Yeah, I want to hear, because I think it does help when you can hear a full performance against some of the bigger teams.
All right. So at number 2, Gonzaga. He played 34 minutes on 9 of 18 shooting, including 3 of 5 from 3. He was 1 of 2 at the free throw line with 4 rebounds, 22 points, and a block.
22-4? 22-4 against Gonzaga last year.
50% from the floor?
Yeah.
What? 50? What were we? 57% from 3? 63%? I don't know what. 5 out of 3.
He was
60%
from 3.
Okay.
All right. So the other game against Gonzaga, which this came in the tournament, the conference tournament,
right?
Played 28 minutes. He went 7 of 16 shooting for 44%. He was 5 of 7 from the free throw line, 72%. He had 19 points, 7 rebounds, 1 assist, and 1 steal.
Shot 7 free throws against Gonzaga. That means he was aggressive. That means he was taking the ball. By the way, that's the game right there that, because Texter says the one thing I will give Dickie V is during the UofL-UK game, he was very complimentary of Charles Menland, said it more than once. I agree with you. That was the game he referenced he saw in the WCC tournament. So, 7 free throws. I mean, like I said, I mean, 19 points. You shoot 7 free throws, you go 5 of 7. That works. Yeah, that works.
All right, so let's do the Stanford game. This was at Stanford. He played 28 minutes. He went 7 for 14. Field goals, 3 of 6 from 3. He had 7 rebounds, 3 assists, 18 points, and 1 steal.
That's a solid game. And that was Stanford? Okay, that's a solid game. And the reason I say Stanford is like, it's not like, whoa, Stanford's the best team in the world, but Stanford's Boston College, Stanford's Syracuse, mm-hmm. Stanford, you know, I mean, I'm talking this season in mm-hmm. particular, not historically, but I mean, yeah. So, I mean, Stanford is about any team, you know, talent-wise in the ACC below, out of the top 5. So, I'm saying, okay, so I'm bringing in a guy I can expect. Now, numbers may go down because the talent around him is mm-hmm. going to be better, but yeah.
All right, so we'll go South Carolina. He played 32 minutes on 7 of 15 shooting, 2 for 4 from 3, 9 of 11 from the free throw line, 25 points, 7 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 block, 3 steals.
25 and 7 in 32 minutes against South Carolina.
Would Kentucky take that?
Do they have, if they had played South Carolina and that game hadn't been postponed, do they have anybody on their team that would have had 25 and 7 in 32 minutes?
All Kentucky.
Yeah. 32 minutes, 25 and 7.
Who pops them on first? Olivier Saar?
He ain't scored in 5 halves.
A field goal. He's scored though, Steve.
Yeah, but
and technically the shot went in and out, so he's kinda,
it's kind of like it's both ours. Yeah,
we're like just keep it at the Yum Center.
Yeah, we're just gonna keep it at the Yum Center.
Let me give you a couple more.
That's
here.
A funny San Diego so post, by the way, Texter.
San Diego. So San Diego. He played 32 minutes on 9 of 20 shooting, which is 45%. 1 of 6 from 3, which is not good. 2 of 3 from the free throw line. 21 points, 10 rebounds, 4 blocks, 1 assist, 1 steal.
So that means his shots. 4 hours starting now.
I don't mind 1 of 6 either, because you're consistently reading me stats where it's 2, 3, 2, 3, 4, 4, 3, 2 with how many threes he's hit. So I don't, I can absolutely excuse a 1 of 6.
Yeah, he went 1 and 6. Yeah. But this, listen, when you're not scoring, coach tells you what?
We shoot.
Help in other ways.
Oh, okay. I thought you were sticking with the 3-point. I'm like, hey. I'm like, well, you shoot out of it.
We know Steve's coaching style. Yeah. Just shoot the ball.
Shoot until you make it, man. Well, I'm from the Jordan Wara. You know, look, it's Kentucky game. We're in Rupp. Jordan sucks. He sucks until he gets it in the corner and hits the three, puts you up, and you're like, oh. I'm okay with Jordan shooting. Yeah.
Here's one more for you.
Wait.
So this was Pepperdine. This was in the conference tournament, I believe. He played 37 minutes, 7 of 19 shooting, 4 for 4 from the free throw line. He had 19 points, 12 rebounds, 1 assist, and 3 steals.
Let's go back for a second.
Okay.
You go 1 for 6.
Okay.
And then you go and get 10 rebounds. And, like, what is, was the last game the one he had 4 blocks?
It was.
You go get 10 rebounds and 4 blocks when you go 1 for 6 mm-hmm. from the 3-point line.
Oh, that's a great point.
That's what I'm saying.
That's a great point.
An adult who knows my shot's not going down, I really got to get some production from some other spots. So, yeah, Brian, I was trying to tell you to hold on for a second because I needed to make that point before we move forward.
Okay, yeah, so the Pepperdine was a 19 points, 12 rebound performance with 3 steals.
He had 19 and 12 against Pepperdine?
I'll take it. Texter wants to know what's his career free throw percentage. I'm trying to find something he needs to improve on.
65%.
I'll give him a hard time. We got soft rims in the end.
Yeah.
Now, you take all this with a grain of salt because, you know, the competition level is different, which is why I tried to pick the bigger games. So I read to you the Gonzaga stat lines. I read you the Stanford, the Cal, the South Carolina, the different ones. And he showed up every time they had a big opponent. Not that he didn't show up in the other games. I mean, basically, we're talking about 27 of his 32 games he scored in double digits.
Will you read those? Will you do what I do sometimes, because I like to do this? Do you have pulled up what you had pulled up yesterday, where you can just read
the points?
Just read, and it might annoy some people, but I think it's important when you just hear them fired off like this. Just read his point totals from last season.
You may do opponents too?
No, just read his point. Just his point totals.
I'm just going to go down.
Yep, just numbers.
19, 21, 16, 19, 22, 11, 13, 12, 21, 9, 8, 19, 19, 25, 15, 15, 19, 12, 16, 18, 8, 10, 11, 14, 21, 11, 19, 8, 17, 16, 15.
Are you kidding me? This dude can play. Texter makes a good point, too. Texter says you're not doing him justice, which I agree with this, Texter. I feel where you're coming from right here. Said, because I'm always, man, the plays can be bigger than you think when you watch the games, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay, so it says you're not doing him justice. They're not being mean. I get the point. His block against Gonzaga was a rundown pin against the backboard, then hustles down the court and drills a 3 on the other side. Like, I agree with you on that, Texter. Because, like, when you read stats, when I watched his game, and now you can get nerdier. Because, like I said, I watch him and I say, man, he comes off that cut the way Coach Mac likes to run. He scores the way Coach Mac likes to score. Like, I think he is going to be an excellent fit into this team. Are you watching him?
No.
Oh, okay. I think he's going to be an excellent fit into the team.
All West Coast Conference second team, NABC honors. WCC All Academic First Team, WCC All Freshman Team, WCC Player of the Weeks. For this guy that's going to be adding to your this adult that you're going to be adding to your team. I just want to do this since we're just going down the line.
Yeah.
Career records, total points tied for 18th. This is what he left at San Francisco. Total points tied for 18th all time. 3-point field goals made, tied for 10th all time, Steve.
Okay.
3-point field goals attempted. Sixth.
He shoots it.
Get him up, Charles. Single season records, games played, tied for 8th all time. Freshman records, 3-point field goals made in a season, 3rd.
Wow.
3rd. Freshman record, people. 3-point field goals made in a season, 3rd. That was as a freshman. He's played 4 years of basketball, and he's here now, ready to win.
Yeah.
Freshman records, total points scored, tied for 8th. Scoring average, tied for 10th, 10 points a game. Mr. Lance, he and his father, that's funny, combined score 2,000. Okay, dad played for St. John's. Ooh, Steve. His dad just missed getting busted by Maven.
Just missed.
Just missed. He did.
Was he on the squad?
He was 93 to 97. So, no. No.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, that was one. Okay. Yeah, this is just bio stuff now. Like, it's basically repeating what Brian said, you know, as a whole. But, yeah. So, after everything I just read to y'all, Louisville is at 50% right now of its potential.
Right.
What does adding Charles Mann after what I just read, after what Brian just read to you, what do you feel like Louisville, like what's the instant boost they get?
That's a good question. And I was just reading this text because I'm trying to get some of these texts because the people that are riding with us today, I wanted to try to get them in here. And this goes with what you're saying. It says, hey, guys, just wanted to say thanks for the show during this crazy year. Just appreciate that, man. Thank you very much. Just wanted to ask, if Charles comes out for a couple games and doesn't do well, do you put that on being rusty or hesitation of possibly getting hurt again? I think he may have a couple of rough games at first. So that's what I was
going
to.
Yeah.
I'll
play that game.
I'm okay with that. Like, yeah. But hear me out, though. His first game back, I wouldn't go too far either way, because I could also see his first game back, and it seems like he's a likable guy. Seems like teammates like him and stuff. Carleek's an OG. I could see Carleek getting him involved a lot game one. Like, hey, man, let's get you back into it. Let's get you back into it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, there's always – okay. Our job before these guys get on the court – is to tell you if they can play or not.
Oh, that's a great point, Texter. I'm going to get to that.
Our job is to tell y'all why they can help a team if they're mentally in it. You know, if they're adjusted, if they don't get okay, it's such a fine line between fitting in,
sure,
and taking, you know, taking over, taking control, and you know, so the one thing we can't quantify is personality when we bring a guy in like this. But leading up to it, it's like you started to realize some game, some big moments, Fresh Kimball got game, right? Mm-hmm. And you're like, Fresh, you have to play aggressive and assertive from the beginning. But you could tell Fresh Kimball, just like Carleek said,
yeah,
these guys are big and fast and good. But Carleek in his mind said, yeah, but I don't care.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I still got to do my thing. Fresh Kimball was the type to kind of go, oh, well, let me not do my thing and let me try to work these guys because they're so good and so talented that Fresh Kimball just took a step back.
Okay, but now Fresh, I don't want to step on your point here, but put Fresh on this team though, you may not have that same attitude. I mean, Fresh was on a really, like, I don't know, like put Carleek on last year's team. You know what I'm saying? Like, maybe there would have been a little more with the dominant personality, the, you know, the upperclassmen, the big-time NBA guys.
Yeah, because when you got a Ryan and a Jordan and a Dwayne on your team, like, and an Enoch. And
I think Carlik would have been better than Fresh. Don't like, don't get me wrong. Right. I'm just saying maybe we, like, Fresh is on this team because Fresh can play.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I mean, you saw that when he got in the zone, like against Kentucky, he just started working them.
And listen, but that's why I say your real, like your real just baller comes out.
Yeah.
When you're down seven.
Yeah, that's true.
Because you're desperate now. Now I don't have to. I don't worry about making a mistake. I don't worry about getting anybody in the game. We got to get back in the game. Mm-hmm. So now Fresh all of a sudden is, you know, getting buckets, and we're like, where's this been? You know what I'm saying? And then you're winning by four, and he's kind of like, well, I got Ryan over here. I got Jordan over here. I got Dwayne over here.
I just like to remind people, though, I'm like, you're taking a grad transfer and you're plugging him into a team that is going to be number one 2 weeks into the season. You know, like, that's a big – I don't care what anybody says. They're floundering down the stretch. I'm like, we read it yesterday. I'm like, that team had a shot last year. They had a shot to win the thing. So, Carlik's not got that. Carlik's kind of – it's like, if we're going to win, it's because of you.
Yeah, right, right.
You know what I'm saying?
No, we're depending on you from the beginning, too.
Because David's not a – David, I don't mean this in a bad way. I don't mean this as an attack on David's character at all. But watching David play, I have been convinced there's no chance he comes back. Like, no chance. Because David is playing in a – just watching him play, like, I think David really wants to win.
Mm-hmm.
He really, so that's why I say, I'm watching how I say this. But David, you can tell, like, David's not worried about Carlik.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's like, yeah, like, whatever.
No, David has the Ray Spalding look on his face.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah.
He has the, dude, I'm getting to the league, I'm going to get mine, and we're going to win.
Yep.
Like, you know what I'm saying?
No, it's Ray just had this look on his face, and he hits this bucket, and I turn to Steve, and I'm like, he's gone.
Yeah. And I felt that way the last couple games about David.
Listen, where
I
was when David drives past to the right,
mm-hmm.
and then he switches back to the left to get that quick bucket, it's like, yeah, he's different.
Yeah, he's playing for the league now, and he knows it. Like, he's playing like a guy.
Smells.
He's made his mind up, you know, hey, I'm a pro, but I want to win. Like, so I don't want to downgrade Dave's love for the city.
You're talking about
his
kind of like his aggression level in his own game. He's not worried about juggling personalities.
Because after Saturday, David should never buy a drink in the city again. After Duke and Saturday, like, David Johnson shouldn't spend a dime in this city ever again.
I'm more thankful that he didn't take Tim Sullivan's bait.
Yeah, no, I thought he did. He tried.
What do you think about the coach saying you're reckless?
Yeah.
I think I'm reckless, but he's the coach.
Yeah, that was a little reckless, honestly. But yeah, Charles Mendland, man. I mean, getting him back
we're gonna keep talking about this. Go ahead and play us out, Brian, so we don't like break all the network laws and all that good stuff.
By the way, we do have Coach Mack today. Brian, are we playing that on here? Is that going to be on 680 during Bob's show?
It's a good question. I'll let you know here after.
Regardless, at 1:50, I'm sure we'll have Coach Mack either definitely on ESPN 680. Yeah. So. if we can break away from. Yeah, I'm not going to say that. All right, second hour.
93.9 The Ville.